الحمد لله الذي بنعمته تتم الصالحات، والصلاة والسلام على خير البريات وعلى آله وصحبه والتابعين والتابعات. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ونبيه ورسوله، وأشهد أن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله، وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise and glory and thanks belong to Allah, by whose bounty all good comes. And may the peace and blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the best of his creation Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and upon his family and his companions and all the believing men and women that follow. We testify that no one is worthy of worship but Allah, alone without any partners, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was his servant and his prophet and his messenger, and that the most truthful of words is the Book of Allah, and the best of guidance is the Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the most dangerous of matters the newly invented matters in the deen, for every newly introduced matter into this complete perfect religion is leading astray off of the straight path that only leads to the fire. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, المال والبنون زينة الحياة الدنيا, that wealth and children, they are the glimmer, the glamour, the glitter, the decoration, that shining light, and that standout enjoyment in the life of this world. And indeed, of the greatest blessings a person can ever come across while living their stay in this dunya is to be blessed with children. And it's upon the believer to show gratefulness for that blessing. And that gratefulness is done, that shukr, is done by using that child, that blessing, that gift, in the service of the one that blessed them with it. To know that it's a blessing, it's from Allah, we can never repay him for it, and that he chose to give it to us, while he deprived others of it. And only Allah knows, was the one that was given better off, or the one that was not given a child better off? For all is decreed with the wisdom, but nonetheless, we know that we must show gratefulness for this blessing. Or else, Umar ibn Abdul Aziz rahimahullah, he says, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُعْطِي الْعَبْدَ النِّعْمَةِ, indeed Allah gives the slave a blessing. فَإِن شَكَرَهَا أَثْبَتَهَا لَهُ, if he is grateful, it's kept there for him. وَإِلَّا قَلَبَهَا عَلَيْهِ عَذَابًا, otherwise, if he doesn't show thankfulness for it, it, that very same blessing, is turned into a torment and a punishment and an agony for that person in this dunya and the akhirah. And how many people begged Allah for children, and when they were finally granted them, they were distracted by that blessing from remembering Allah and giving him his due right in that blessing. And now, look at what has come of that. That denial, that negligence, they beg their children to treat them as if they were peers, not even to give them the respect of parents, or they would pay all the money in the world to turn back the clock and do it all over again so that their children would not speak to them that way, or some of them would sell themselves off just so their children would speak to them at all. Or in the Akhirah, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he says in Tuhfat al-Mawdud that the child will be defended on the Day of Judgment, that Allah will demand and interrogate the parent about the rights of that child before he interrogates the child about the rights of the parents. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَإِنْ كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ, and your Lord has announced, if you are grateful, I will increase you, and if you are ungrateful, indeed, my punishment is severe. And this is Sa'id ibn Musayyib, rahimahullah, the Imam of the Tabi'een, who used to say, Ya Bunay, O my son, إِنِّي لَأَزِيدُ فِي صَلَاتِي مِنْ أَجْلِكَ رَجَاءَ أَنْ أُحْفَظَ فِيكَ, I increase in my prayer, either I lengthen my recitation, or I literally increase in the number of sujood and ruku' I make, because of you, out of hope that Allah would keep you for me, that Allah would preserve you and protect you for me. And then he would recite the verse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Kahf, وَكَانَ أَبُوهُمَا صَالِحًا, that indeed their parents were righteous, referring to the story of the two orphan boys whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa and Al-Khadr to protect their treasure for them when their parents had died off, and the qualifier, the reason being, that their parents were righteous people. They were preserved even after the death of their parents. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, who we were commanded to follow, Allah Azza wa Jal says, ثُمَّ أَوْحَيْنَا إِلَيْكَ أَنِ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And then we reveal to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and all the Muslims after you, to follow the millah, the way of Ibrahim alayhi salam. And Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَنْ يَرْغَبُ عَمْ مِلَّةِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ إِلَّا مَنْ سَفِهَ نَفْسَهُ. And no one turns away from the millah, the way of Ibrahim, except someone who takes themselves for a fool. وَلَقَدْ اصْطَفَيْنَاهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَإِنَّهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ لَمِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. Indeed, we have chosen him in the life of this world, and he is in the hereafter amongst the righteous. Why? إِذْ قَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ قَالَ أَسْلَمْتُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. When his Lord told him submit, he said immediately, I submit to the Lord of the worlds. But he didn't stop there. وَوَصَّى بِهَا إِبْرَاهِيمُ بَنِيهِ وَيَعْقُوبُ يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. And he entrusted that statement to his children. As did Ya'qub. What was the statement? Oh my children, indeed Allah has chosen the religion for you. So do not die except in a state of Islam. So gratefulness for your child, in a nutshell, is done by preserving the guidance, ensuring the guidance of your children, or doing all that you can in that endeavor. And the scholar said that guidance is of two types. And this is of great importance to understand how to work towards the guidance of our children. The first type of guidance is called hidayatul irshadi wa dilala, the guidance of directing, pointing in the right direction, educating. And this type of guidance, any human being that knows a bit of truth about this religion can do it. Even if what they know is a partial bit of correct information about some peripheral issue that is true, they can do it. They can point to that aspect of the straight path. As Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِنَّكَ لَتَهْدِي إِلَىٰ صِرَاطٍ مُسْتَقِيمٍ صِرَاطِ اللَّهِ. And indeed, you surely guide, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to the straight path, the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. After a person points to that path, the one receiving that instruction can either accept to get on the path or not. As we say in the proverb, you can take a horse to water, but you can't make him drink it. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says, وَأَمَّا ثَمُودُ فَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ. As for Thamud, we guided them. The guidance here is referring to which? The guidance of irshad, of direction, of instruction. فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. So they, after they were guided, they were shown the path, they received the Prophet, they saw the miracles that came with Salih alayhi salam. فَاسْتَحَبُّ الْعَمَى عَلَى الْهُدَى. They preferred blindness, meaning disbelief, over that guidance that they saw. The second type of guidance is هِدَايَةُ الْقَبُولِ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ, the guidance of acceptance and being successful enough to respond. And this type of guidance, no one possesses it except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's not for anyone, not even Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For he was the one about which Allah says, إِنَّكَ لَا تَهْدِي مَنْ أَحْبَبْتِ وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ. You don't guide whomever you love, but Allah is the one that guides whomever he wishes. And we all know the reason for the verse being revealed. Abu Talib, his uncle, who was with him through thick and thin, and then he is there on his deathbed, after financing and defending the call of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the earliest, most difficult of times in Mecca. And then he's sitting there between the leaders of Quraysh and between Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and each of them is pulling him in the opposite direction. One of them is telling him, say la ilaha illallah, a statement so that I can argue on your behalf in front of Allah. And the others are telling him, you're going to turn away from the religion of Abdul Muttalib. And he died upon the religion of Abdul Muttalib. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had told him, لَأَسْتَغْفِرُ لَكَ مَا لَا أُنْهَى عَنْكَ. I will continue to seek forgiveness for you so long as I am not forbidden from doing so. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed to him, you don't guide whom you love. And he revealed to him also that it's not befitting. The ayah, it is not befitting that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam or the believers seek forgiveness for the polytheists, the pagans, the disbelievers, even if they be of kin, even if they be relatives, after they have died upon that disbelief. And then subhanAllah, at the Battle of Uhud, when the Prophet ﷺ's face was gashed and his tooth was broken and the metal had entered into his blessed cheek ﷺ, as it's mentioned in the Hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu and Sahih al-Bukhari, that he made dua that Allah curse four people, of them Safwan ibn Umayyah, and of them Ikrimah ibn Abi Jahl, and others. So Allah Azza wa Jal revealed then, لَيْسَ لَكَ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ شَيْءٍ, it's not up to you, أَوْ يَتُوبَ عَلَيْهِمْ أَوْ يُعَذِّبُهُمْ, whether Allah accepts their repentance or Allah punishes them. And subhanAllah, out of the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His decree, all four of those entered Islam. So Abu Talib dies upon kufr, and these four whom he cursed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam enter upon Islam. This type of guidance only belongs for Allah, so that we would know that the Lord is a Lord and the slave is always a slave. And Allah Azza wa Jal said, لَيْسَ عَلَيْكَ هُدَاهُمْ, your guidance, meaning them accepting the guidance, is not upon you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يَهْدِي مَنْ يَشَاءُ, but Allah is the one who guides whomever He wishes. Now with regards to our children, a person is obligated to be concerned with both of these guidances in order to show gratefulness for their children. As for the first guidance, the guidance of irshad and dilala, to direct our children and to refine them and to instruct them and to educate them so that they may be slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so they don't grow up saying, leave me alone, I'm a free man, it's a free country, I do what I want. To tell them, no. Who told you that? You're not a free man. You're not a free woman. Rather, you're a slave. The only thing that is up to you is whether you're going to be a righteous slave, accept the most noble, lofty occupation on the face of the earth, be a slave of the Supreme King, or be a runaway slave. But if you choose to be a runaway slave, you will approach Allah on a day that He will punish the runaway slaves in a manner that no one can bear. Like the hadith of Anas in Sahih Muslim radiallahu ta'ala anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that the most lavished person, the king of kings of this world, will be brought forward on the day of judgment, فَيُصْبَغُ فِي النَّارِ صَبْغَةً وَاحِدَةً, and will just be dipped into the fire one time. And then he'll be pulled out and he'll be asked, يَا ابْنَ آدَمْ, O son of Adam, هَلْ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا قَطْ, هَلْ مَرَّ بِكَ خَيْرٌ قَطْ, have you seen any sort of bliss in your life at all? Has any good ever passed over you? And this person will say, I swear, never did I see any good by Allah. And then the one that had gone through the most difficult time on the face of the earth, imagine someone that has no wealth or never met his family, on top of that they were blind or were handicapped, all of that together, they come on the day of judgment, فَيُصْبَغُ فِي الْجَنَّةِ صَبْغَةً وَاحِدَةً, then they will be dipped into paradise just one time, then be pulled out, and they will be asked, have you ever seen a hardship in your life? Has any difficulty ever passed over you in your life? And they will say, no, by Allah, I have never seen a difficulty in my life. No hardship has ever passed over me in my life. So the children are to be trained upon that. Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara. O people of Iman, protect yourselves and your family from a fire. وَقُودُهَا النَّاسُ وَالْحِجَارَةُ, whose fuel is humans and stones. So you are obligated to protect yourself from the fire, and you're obligated to protect your family from the fire. We cannot bear it to see our child with the window cracked open, sleeping uncovered. We rush over and throw the blanket over them. We cannot bear to imagine losing our children in a burning building. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to a fire that is incomparable to the fire of this world. And the way to protect our children from the fire is for them to be the slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says at this ayah, protect them from a fire, he says, عَلِّمُوهُمْ وَأَدِّبُوهُمْ, teach them and discipline them, refine them, put in the house a library. Get them accustomed to reading in this age of ignorance and the age where knowledge is being lifted from the earth, as the Prophet ﷺ foretold would occur. Get them used to having a mihrab in the house without distractions. Get them used to having attachments to the masajid, for that is the ark of Noah in this day and age. And to train them, in the Sunan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, مُرُوا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالصَّلَاةِ لِسَبْعُ وَضْرِبُوهُمْ عَلَيْهَا لِعَشْرُ وَفَرِّقُوا بَيْنَهُمْ فِي الْمَضَاجِعُ. Command your children to pray at 7 years of age, and strike them for it at 10, and separate between them, meaning male and female, in the beds, meaning in the same bed or under the same cover. Many people misunderstand this hadith. They think this hadith means a statement and then a beating. Absolutely not. Command them at 7, which means that before that, they should have already seen you pray and heard from you the importance of prayer, and been shown and taught how to make wudu and prayer, then been tested on the wudu and prayer, and rewarded and praised about the matter, and then been prepared to look forward to that age of 7, that it's an occasion, this is the age that I'm going to be making prayer on my own. That's why when 7 comes, you can command them with something that they know, or else it would be unfair to command them with something that they are incapable of. And then starting 7, you command them with one prayer? Their birthday prayer, if you will? No. You command them with 5 prayers a day. And you're obligated to be consistent upon that. And then 3 years later, 5,000 commands of salah later, the child will be habituated. And if they aren't by then the sunnah teaches us to turn up the notch a bit to the last resort of striking within, of course, the parameters that the Sharia drew for us. So in reality, this instruction teaches us about the gradualism, the training that we are to put our children through, and in reality, it's the epitome of gentleness if it is understood in the proper lights. Also in Sahih al-Bukhari, Ar-Rubayy' bint Mu'awwith radiyallahu ta'ala anha, she mentioned that they used to fast the day of Ashura, and they would train their children to fast. And if their children would cry from hunger, they would give them a toy from ihn, from wool, like they'd give them a pillow to play with, and they'd send them to the masajid to play so that they would be distracted from their hunger until time came. And also in Sahih al-Bukhari, the hadith referring to Hajjatul Wada', the farewell Hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A woman came and she lifted a child up in front of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and she said, Ali hadha hajj. Does someone like this have a hajj for them? Are they eligible? So he told her sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Na'am wa laki ajr. He says, yes, and for you is the reward. This is a child that is being carried in the arms. And to train the children upon haya, upon modesty, so that it's a gentle, gradual transition. Sure, it's an obligation that the girl put the hijab on at the age of puberty. But the obligation on you is completely different. The obligation on you is to teach her before that the concept of modesty and the concept of the importance of the curtains of formality being raised and never falling between the genders, so that a person can grow up with a strong, pure personality, upright, understanding the etiquettes between the genders. And on top of that, you would be making it easier for that daughter of yours that you wish to see in paradise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gather us with our families in the gardens of Jannah. You'd be making easier for her once you train her. Or else all of a sudden, overnight, you want her to press a button and change her whole outlook on the world, and you wonder why she doesn't. And then at times, parents, they make up their wrong, their lack of preparation, with another wrong, that they take it into force. And a human being is like a seatbelt. It doesn't come by tugging. And then train them upon iman before all of this. Look at Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhum, 8 years old or 6 years old, learning great fundamental aspects of our aqeedah احفظ الله يحفظك، احفظ الله تجده تجاهك، إذا سألت فاسأل الله، وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم taught him a عقيدة course at that age. Safeguard Allah, He'll safeguard you. Safeguard Allah, you'll find Him in front of you, directing you to every good. If you ask, ask only of Allah. If you seek strength, seek it only with Allah. And know that the whole world were to try to benefit you with any matter, they would not benefit you with any matter except that it is a matter that Allah had written for you. And know that the whole world tries to harm you in any way, they will not harm you in any way except in a manner that Allah had written for you. The pens have been lifted, the pages have dried. This is an address that was given firsthand to the Ummah through a youngster. And it's upon a person to work through this guidance of instruction until their last breath. Look at Ibrahim alayhi salam. Allah Azza wa Jal tried him with many things throughout his life, of waiting years for a child, and then after having the child, giving them up for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the story of the slaughter of Ismail alayhi salam, and then living away from the children as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had decreed, and then he would still come back and ask about the wife of Ismail alayhi salam. Keep this one, let this one go, as the hadith mentioned. And look at the beautiful story of Nuh alayhi salatu wasalam. Until the very last moment. Ya bunay irkab ma'ana wa la takum min al-kafirin. Oh my son, ride with us, don't be with the disbelievers. Qala sa'awi ila jabalin ya'simuni min al-ma. He said, no, I'll go seek protection with a mountain to protect me from the water. قَالَ لَا عَاصِمَ الْيَوْمَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا مَنْ رَحِمٍ He told him, there's no protection from Allah's command today except those that He shows mercy to. And the raging floods came. وَحَالَ بَيْنَهُمَ الْمَوْجُ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُغْرَقِينَ And this, Allah says, the waves separated between them and he was of those that drowned. Any person that is a parent or will soon be a parent, remember this hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and never forget it. The hadith of Ma'qil ibn Yasar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sahih Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, ما من عبد يسترعيه الله رعية يموت يوم يموت وهو غاش لرعيته إلا حرم الله عليه الجنة. There is no slave that Allah places them in a leader for any sort of following, and they die the day that they die while having betrayed that following of theirs, those that they're responsible for, except that Allah makes paradise forbidden for that person. وَالْعِيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Any person that dies without setting up for their children a means to understanding the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not teaching them the Arabic language, placing a barrier between them and the Qur'an, understand the enormity of that treachery and that sin. Any person that leaves that murderer in their house the day that they die, that murderer and that poison called the television, what bigger treachery can you do to your family? Any person that leaves their children to find friends because you did not befriend them, or to find explanations because you didn't explain to them, and they did not know why they were upon the religion that they are upon, how big of a treachery that is. This is the first aspect of Hidayah. The Hidayah of Irshad, directing and instructing our children. The second aspect of Hidayah, the Hidayah of acceptance, the guidance of responding and accepting that message. As we said, this is in no one's hands but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, ask Allah for it. You should still be concerned with this. And this was Ibrahim alayhi salam once again, who we were commanded to follow his way. وَإِذْ يَرْفَعُ إِبْرَاهِيمُ الْقَوَاعِدَ مِنَ الْبَيْتِ وَإِسْمَاعِيلُ رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا And remember when Ibrahim alayhi salam is raising the pillars of the house, the Kaaba, and Ismail as well, O our Lord, accept from us. Making dua here. Compare that with perhaps the best of the best of the Muslims today. The select few that pray Fajr in the masjid. Many of them, their wives and children are at home until sunrise. Ibrahim alayhi salam is not in the masjid. He built the first and greatest masjid, or raised its pillars according to another opinion, re-erected it, and Ismail alayhi salam is working with him. And Allah says, "Oh Allah, accept from me and my son. Accept from us." Then he goes on and says, "Rabbana waj'alna muslimayni lak wa min dhurriyyatina." Oh our Lord, make us of those that submit to you. Enable us to be Muslim. What a dua from Ibrahim alayhi salam and from our children. And he didn't stop there. The next ayah continues to say, رَبَّنَا وَابْعَثْ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِكَ. Oh Allah, and send amongst them a messenger from them, reciting upon them your ayats. And Ibrahim alayhi salam, Allah records for us that he said, رَبِّ اجْعَلْنِي مُقِيمَ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِي. Oh Allah, make me of those that establish the prayer and my offspring as well. And in another ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that he says, اُجْنُبْنِي وَبَنِيَّ أَن نَعْبُدَ الْأَصْنَامِ. And distance me and my children from worshipping the idols. The Quran is filled with Ibrahim alayhi salam is concerned with the second type of guidance. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentions his most cherished slaves, Ibadur Rahman, as those that say, رَبَّنَا هَبْ لَنَا مِنْ أَزْوَاجِنَا وَذُرِّيَّاتِنَا قُرَّةَ أَعْيُنَ. O Allah, make for us from our spouses and our children the joy of our eyes. In the Musnad of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah and in Al-Adab Al-Mufrad of Imam Al-Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, it's mentioned that Al-Miqdad ibn al-Aswad rahimahullah, he explains the reason why this ayah was revealed. And that was when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam first came with the Furqan. And this dua is in the surah of the Furqan. The Furqan, that separator between truth and falsehood, that criterion, that which deciphers and distinguishes and severs truth from falsehood, haqq from batil. A man was separated from his child, and a person was separated from their siblings, and a daughter is separated from her mother, one upon iman, the other upon kufr, so they were unable to have their children be the joy of their eyes, because how could your child be the joy of your eyes when they are in the fire? That is the definition. So we are to say, O Allah, make for us from our spouses and our children the joy of our eyes, meaning those that will escape the punishment of the fire. May Allah include us amongst those that fulfill that description. Allahumma ameen. This was just a few words of advice that I was asked to give for the occasion of the aqiqah of the newest princess to this ummah, Ayah Salih, hafidhahu Allah wa ra'aha. And I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants her the ability to actualize the meaning of her name. The ulama mentioned that the word ayah in the Quran comes with one of three meanings. Either it's ayah meaning the verse that is recited, like the ayah of the Quran, or an ayah referring to a sign, something that reminds and directs about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or an ayah comes by the meaning of a miracle, something that humbles the people and causes them to be forced to surrender to the reality of La ilaha illallah. So I pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes her of those that constantly rehearse the ayat of the Quran, as these are the best of people. Sahih Bukhari from the Hadith of Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. The best of you are those that learn the Quran and teach it to others. And I pray that she is of those that is a sign for others and a reminder for others, an ayah for the people towards the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as these are also the best of people. Allah azza wa jal says, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ. And whom is better in speech, meaning no one is better in speech than those that call to the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I pray that Allah makes her an ayah, a humbling, astounding, astonishing miracle from what we expected our children would not be like in this generation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make her of the few and make her life and her upbringing be a red carpet for her parents' admittance into Jannah. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala yumbitaha nabatan hasana to grant her a great stay and upbringing in this dunya, wa yazidaha bastatan fil ilmi wal jism, and to increase her in development, both physical and in her intellectual and knowledge, sophistication. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless her and bless with her and guide her and guide with her and make her a reason for the people to be guided in the future. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk, wa salli allahumma ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.